Corinthians 12, it says we were all baptized by one spirit into one body. Talking about spirit baptism, where we are all placed into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. We all Christians have the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then in the same chapter, it says this. It says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And the obvious implication Paul's saying here is no. We all don't have these gifts. And so in the same chapter, he's saying, we're all baptized in the Spirit, by the Spirit into the body, but not all speak in tongues. So tongues is not for every Christian. It's for whom the Holy Spirit wills to give that gift. Now, this has become very divisive when people take this extreme position because they say, if you don't speak in tongues, you're a have-not. You're a JV Christian. That's pretty divisive. It's hard to fellowship with someone who has that mentality. There's some dangerous extremes as well. Like you get taken into the back room and they coax you to speak in tongues. They try to train you to speak in tongues. I'm like, wait a minute, doesn't the Holy Spirit give you that gift? They start talking, okay, repeat after me. This has happened to some of you, and I'm not even saying the Lord hasn't worked in some of these situations. God's a big God. But I mean, with all due respect, do we have to like speak motorcycle language to get it? Like, shoulda, rode a Honda, you know, or talking about Kawasaki over and over and over again? It doesn't make, I mean, why do we have to jumpstart a spiritual gift from God? And so I think that's a dangerous extreme. I also think a dangerous extreme, as Paul is alluding to here, is when the whole church is speaking in tongues. And you've experienced this or seen it perhaps, and everybody just out of control is all speaking in tongues, and no one knows what's going on, but everyone's just, you know, going for it in tongues, erupting into this spiritual language. And it's unbiblical, as Paul clearly teaches here, that at the most, two, at very most, three, and that's one at a time. I don't mean to be like critical. I just want to be biblical here. How many of the Pentecostal churches violate almost all these rules? Because it's just, you know, everyone at once, not one at a time, and three at the most. So that's why we don't have to fear in our church. If this were to happen, first of all, if this were to happen in our church service here, we've gotten together as elders, we've prayed this through, we've come up with a position. In fact, I'm going to read it so I don't butcher it. River Valley draws many people from conservative evangelical church backgrounds, some from mainline churches, some who have not been to church for many years, some who have never been to church. We want our weekend worship celebration services to be a safe place where they can be led beyond religion into relationship with Jesus. We have concluded that allowing tongues in the celebration services might in many cases be unloving and insensitive towards our guest. We ask those who have this gift to limit their liberty to use this gift in the celebration services. Our goal in this is love and protecting the flock. Now, some may say we are quenching the Spirit by limiting this gift. But the fact is, we ask a lot of people to limit their use of gifts during the celebration services. We ask many encouragers not to encourage, many administrators not to administrate, and many teachers not to teach during the worship celebration service. Since tongues are such a controversy among Christians, great caution and sensitivity should also be taken in the smaller groups, home groups, ministry teams, etc., so that tongues at River Valley, as the Bible teaches, never become the main emphasis, but that everything is done in a fitting and an orderly way, in an edifying way. So we would not allow a tongues experience to take place here in the service. And if it were to happen, I would graciously ask the person to not and to stop speaking in that tongue, because this is not the place. I don't know who the person is, okay? And there's too many people that don't understand it. Now, let's say it happened in a small group that I was in, and it hasn't, okay? In fact, someone this week who does speak in tongues is so amazing. I was right in the middle of 1 Corinthians, and I think it was Thursday morning studying, and I got this call from a friend of mine, and he said, hey, I just felt you were probably in the middle of 1 Corinthians 14 right now. And he said, just thought maybe, you know, we could talk about this a little bit. And it was at a perfect time when I had some questions. I needed to bounce some things off somebody who has experienced this. It was just amazing how the Lord opened up that door. But this person said, it was very interesting. He said, you know, he goes, I don't use my spiritual gift even in a small group because there's not really much purpose for it. He goes, if I receive a tongue while I'm in the small group, I'm just maybe moving my mouth like we can pray with our mouth, but without confusing people with the tongue. And if the Lord wants to give me an interpretation